I have two calendars here with me today. This one is the old one. And if you look at it, it's all marked up. It's actually falling apart. I've had to tape it. There's appointments, there's cancellations, there's meetings that have been moved. I have a note in, July, to make note of an appointment for next April, and a reminder to put it on next year's calendar. It's like crazy. All kinds of things. Bills that were due, birthdays, haircuts, all kinds of things, right? This calendar actually is a mess, and it's time to put it away. Now, if I take my new one, which isn't as pretty as Margot's calendars, which we still have a few left if you want to purchase a new and beautiful calendar for the next year. That's our advertisement for the day. It's clean. There's nothing in it. Well, except for the April one. I did put that in already to make sure I wouldn't forget. But it's clean and not falling apart. It's pretty good. It looks like I have a lot of things to plan and think about for the future. You know, before we start this new year, we need to look at the old year. And Jennifer's verses this morning were just fitted perfectly with this, because before we start that new year, we need to take the old year. Or as if you read the Daily Bread, they call it a day of reckoning. Take the calendar and look through it. Look at the events. Remember the good, the not so good. To take an inventory as I look through. How did I serve this year? How did I give this year both my time and my money? Do I need to forgive myself or perhaps someone else for something that was said or not said, done, or maybe not done? Do I need to look through and remember my family, my friends, the relationships, were they good, before moving on to the next step, to the next year? Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So I would suggest to you that before we start this new year, ask God to show you what spiritual work needs to be done. What do you have to get rid of? But make sure you take the time to express gratitude to God for what has transpired, what the blessings were from the last year. I really wonder, what is ahead for 2019? It's an unknown right now, nothing planned yet. Well, except for that one appointment in April. But, you know, it was told of old times that the map makers, when they would draw the maps, they would draw the maps as far out as they had actually explored. Then they would draw a line, and beyond that point, they would say, beyond this point, there may be dragons. Now, they had never seen a dragon. They didn't know what it was. But they feared the unknown. And they wanted to warn others to be careful in going past that point. And some think that of the future as well. It's outside what we know. And beyond this point, there may be dragons. Now, this past year, if you look back, it's been filled with incredible sadness, There's been terror. There's been natural calamities that have happened all around the world. Is that what's ahead for the next year? Or things that are worse? We could stand and we could look into the new year with fear. I have no idea what's ahead, what I will be doing. Some students, well, you've got some big decisions to make. What university? What college? What courses will I be taking? Some have health concerns. I'm not sure what's going to happen there with our bodies. Some have financial issues that need to be thought through and planned for. There certainly is a lack of peace in our world. Is another war going to break out? Now, in reality, those old map makers, they didn't know what was beyond that point. What was there? Well, chances are there were golden beaches. There were beautiful mountains. There were lovely rivers and beautiful scenes. There was gold and silver and, oh, amazing things that if they had have actually taken a step into the unknown, they would have been shocked at all the beauty that was around them and all the things that they could see and touch and feel. Perhaps they would have been overwhelmed at the beauty of the things around them. And it's the same for us. As we stand at the beginning of the new year, we don't know what's ahead. But God does. And what would you say if I told you that God has a new thing planned for you in 2019? A new thing that's better, that's bigger, that's greater, and that's mightier than anything that you have seen in the past year. That he is going to do more through you this next year than he did last year or the year before. It will be an amazing year. But how do we do it? Well, Hebrews 11 talks of the faith of some of our Old Testament heroes. And we can read verses 1 and 2. The fundamental fact of the existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Then as you read on in the chapter, we read about these ancestors. But they're always followed by these words, by faith. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and so on through the chapter. But when you read their stories in the Old Testament, you will read that at one point in their lives, they stood facing the unknown. They were confronted with a decision, but they made the choice to trust God and to move on, to take that step over the line, to take that step forward. And they decided that no matter what, they were going to follow God. And they were going to go into the unknown with him. Now, at one point, the people of Israel found themselves in a similar position. And you can read this story in Joshua chapter 3. Here they were about to enter the promised land. Finally, they'd made it through the wilderness. But they had lost their leader. Moses was gone. And as they looked across the river, they wondered, what's going to happen? I'm sure they had lots of questions. Was God directing them? Was Joshua a capable leader? Was he going to be able to fill the shoes of Moses? Would God give them that land that's over there that he promised so many years ago? And more importantly, would that river dry up so that they could actually get across to that promised land? And we read in Joshua 3, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. And soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from the upstream stopped flowing. It piled in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zaran, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, which is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed Jordan, or crossed opposite Jericho, across the river. What happened? When the priests put their foot by the water's edge, when they said, okay, here we go, the water parted. And the people were able to go across on dry land. They moved forward, not knowing what was ahead, but knowing that God had directed them, and they were being obedient to take that step and to go ahead. How do we do that, though? It's kind of hard to take that first step, to blindly stick your foot in the water and hope for the best. Jesus one day was talking to his disciples, and he looked at them, and he must have realized that life was not easy for them right now. So he said to them, are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I love this phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The way forward is first of all to make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have him in your heart and in your lives as your personal Savior, that your sins have been forgiven because you bowed at the cross. And then, once you have that beginning relationship, you will build a stronger relationship with Jesus. You will learn from him when you read your Bible and Scripture. You will keep company with him when you pray. Not just once a day, but throughout the day, as things happen in your life, you can pray, and Jesus is there. It won't be difficult because you know and you are sure that he is with you, that he cares for you, that he is your good shepherd, and he's going to walk you beside those still waters and make sure you have everything that you need day by day. The writer of Hebrews, if we go back to the book again, is that after giving us a picture of those heroes of faith, goes on to give them some advice on how to face the year without fear. And the words reflect what Jesus modeled for us and what he taught us while he was here on earth. So Hebrews 13, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as you felt their pain in your own body. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? So whatever comes along to fill up those spaces in our date books and calendars, God will be there. He is our helper, our healer, our shepherd. He won't leave us. So what do we have to fear? Yeah, there may be dragons ahead. We don't know. But he will provide what we need to face each situation as we face it. And as we go through the events of this next year, our faith in him is going to grow. And we will know without doubt that he cares and loves us. Now, there's this habit around New Year's about making resolutions. How many of you are going to make resolutions this year? Whoa, a couple of you are. Maybe to lose weight. Oh, somebody thought somebody should. Maybe to exercise more. Maybe to make sure your finances are in order and you don't spend over your credit limits. There's a lot of New Year's resolutions that people are going to make. And how many of them will last beyond the first week? Probably not too many, right? I don't know why people bother. But there is one that we can make to have our faith grow, to become more like Jesus. Perhaps that should be the only New Year's resolution that we make. To conquer those dragons that are ahead, we are going to have faith in God's wisdom and his love for us. And our New Year's resolution would be more time in the Bible, more time praying, more becoming like Jesus each day. There's another passage of scripture, Psalm 1, that gives us some advice on how to grow more like Jesus and how to be able to face what's ahead. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he will meditate day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff, and the wind blows them away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The Lord watches over us. It is possible to have a truly happy and blessed life, not based on the feelings or what the world around us tells us, but being related to God, having him as your father, and Jesus each day as your brother, having a solid foundation built on scripture. Blessed in the Bible gives you that sense of well-being that comes from knowing that God is at work on your behalf. One thing I say I am so blessed is with my apartment. And some of you have heard the story when I went to look at the apartment and to make the arrangements to move in, the superintendent showed me an apartment, and I don't like this apartment. I didn't feel right about the apartment. Now, I knew God was showing me to move into this place, but this wasn't the apartment. And I didn't know what to say to her. But I said, well, I guess I'll think about it. And we went back downstairs to the office. And I said, when I looked here before, there was another kind of apartment. And it was bigger, and it was like this. And she said, okay, wait a minute. And she picked up the phone and made a call and asked this person on the other end if she could show me his apartment. And he said, oh, sure, just don't mind the dishes in the sink. Okay, we can look over dishes in the sink. And she took me into this apartment, the one that I'm in now, and honestly, I had tears in my eyes. This was it. This was the one that I was supposed to move into. You see, God had it all worked out. And I just had to trust him and believe that I was truly blessed, that he brought me into. And I love my apartment. It's got a beautiful view, and it's peaceful, and it's calm, and it's where God wanted me to be. And people said, oh, you're so lucky. I said, no, I am blessed because God worked it out for me. The psalmist in Psalm 1, he starts with the negative. He says, not walking, not standing, not sitting. If you want a blessed life, you have to choose who you stand with, who you sit with, who you walk with, where you go, what you do. If we want to grow spiritually, we're going to have to make wise choices, not being pushed into the mold that the world has, not saying, okay, well, I'm going to do that because. No, I'm going to do this because God is directing my path, and he wants me to do what's right and honorable for him. How we think, how we behave, and who we associate with this coming year is going to dictate how blessed we will be. Yes, we are in the world. No doubt about it. And we are to influence those around us. But we can't let their choices affect us and the way we are. There's a saying, a boat in the water is good. Water in the boat, not so much. And that's what we have to be. We have to make godly choices to live a different lifestyle and not fit into the world. The water will be around us, but don't let us drown us. Psalm 1 continues on and tells us that we will live worthwhile lives, no matter what the journey that goes ahead. And what's going to be the results? We will be like a tree planted by the water. A tree in a proper spot is going to grow, it's going to be green, and it's going to bear fruit. A blessed life will be marked by stability, strong roots, and also fruitfulness. We had a discussion not long ago around the table at OCC about gardens. Now, I miss my garden this year, I will admit it. But they had a conversation about what grew the best, what changes are they going to make for next year. Some people had great success with tomatoes. Others, no crop at all this year. And it was interesting conversation to hear them talk about their gardens and what they will do differently and how it will work for next year. When we think about it, the Holy Spirit is going to produce fruit in us. Where I may need more patience, you may need more joy. But he will provide for us and grow us the way he wants us to be for him. And wouldn't it be amazing next year if we sat around the table and we compared notes, not on the activities that we did, but on what God has taught us, how God has grown us, and what fruit we have produced in our lives. How are we different than we were last year? How successful was our New Year's resolution? And did it last the 365 days? It's going to be also great to look through our calendars and realize how God has used us, but how God has used us as a church to affect the community where he has us planted. You know, it's kind of amazing to realize that our actions and our words count for something. They can make a difference in people's lives. Our God knows us, and he will make this year count if we are willing to set aside our fears, to get to know him better, and trust him with all parts of our lives. You know that story about Jesus coming into the house, and the person shows Jesus their whole house, but the one door that's locked. And Jesus says, well, what's in there? They go, well, you don't need to know about that. Jesus needs every door, every aspect, every part of our lives, our money, our time, our talents, our gifts, our abilities. And he will take those and he will use them to benefit the kingdom and those people that we meet day by day. Samuel, an Old Testament prophet and priest, was given the job to get the nation of Israel ready for its first king. Not an easy task. In 1 Samuel 12, he challenges them to keep remembering what God has done for them in the past, to keep trusting him for the future, and to keep serving God with all of their hearts in the present. And I'd say that was good advice for us as we face the unknown of the year ahead and step out to follow God in the path. Remember the joys and the blessings of the year gone by. Leave the future in God's hand, but right now, serve him the best that you can in the place where he has you. He will help us to conquer those dragons, and he will help us produce fruit for him and for the kingdom and for what's ahead for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving your presence all the days. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting, another year with thee.